Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good morning.
Let's talk about lots of action yesterday in the Senate, but one of the things that happened is the Senate approved a bill that is going to require institutions to meet some certain performance targets when it comes to increasing tuition, and obviously this is something that you have been a strong proponent for, is putting a cap on this.
Well, yes. You know, access to affordable higher education is critical to the future economy of Texas, and certainly those families, those middle-class families, are getting priced out of the ability to have their children attend college. So the bill that was passed yesterday puts in place a couple of things. One is performance-based metrics that institutions of higher education have to meet before they can raise tuition. Secondly, my additions to that bill put limits on how much they can raise that tuition. For the next two academic years, if that bill were to become law, that amount that it can be raised would be inflation plus 1%. Thereafter, when the bill becomes fully effective, it would be inflation plus 3%. So it puts a governor, a cap on the magnitude that institutions of higher education can raise their tuition.
Well, you know, it was a different world back in 2003 when the dereg was put in place. What are the elements that you felt like have changed that got us to this point where you have to once again put those caps on?
Well, you know, I think the responsibility of the legislature was somewhat abdicated back in 2003, and I think the policy of deregulation has simply failed. It is critical that we maintain access and affordability to higher education. It's critical for those students and those families, but also critical for the future economy of Texas. And so, you know, institutions have looked at ways to provide for funding for various programs, enhancements at their institutions, both in education and research, and that's very worthwhile. But that does have to be balanced against the need for affordability and how that affects access for those, again, those students and those families that want to obtain the dream of sending their children to college.
Has this gotten a placement in the House, the matching bill in the House, and do you know what
it's going to be carried by Representative Zerwas, who's the chair of higher education, and I was talking to him yesterday about it, actually.
Okay. How did he feel about passage in the House?
Well, I think there is certainly the concern about affordability and access and outcomes and performance-based metrics, and I think he's going to give it a fair hearing, and we'll see.
The Texas Senate also voted yesterday to create a tax-free weekend for guns, hunting supplies, and ammo. I guess Louisiana has something like this, and this is to keep money on this side of the border?
That's right. It's a real important issue for East Texas in particular. A lot of sales are lost across the border in Louisiana. Texas, if this bill were to become law, would have that tax-free weekend before Louisiana's, so it would keep those sales in Texas. I think it's a reasonable measure and one that was of significant importance to Senator Creighton, who is one of the representatives for East Texas.
State Senator Charles Schroeder joining us this morning from Austin. School financing has been a problem for a long, long time in Texas. And basically, Judge Dietz has been the one and only person who has heard the financing school financing problems since day one. Bill passed yesterday, Senate Bill 455, would give the Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court the opportunity to appoint a three-judge panel under the guidance of the Attorney General so that we would hear, maybe have a different set of eyes on school financing?
Well, that's true. Legal, right now in the state of Texas, legal cases against the state that have significant statewide importance are tried in the county district court of original jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's usually Travis County. And that really, I think, disadvantages opinions and concerns from around the entire state when deciding a case of such large statewide importance. So this bill, if it were to become law, would allow the Chief Justice to appoint a three-judge panel to hear these large cases that have statewide importance.
You voted for this?
I did, yes.
And then, of course, the other thing is redistricting. It could certainly impact that in some ways.
Yes, it would. That also obviously is a statewide importance type of issue.
Now, and again, to look at this, does this not politicize it somewhat? You've got an AG who's going to be overseeing this. You've got a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court who is elected.
I think it provides representation. Right now, it's, I think, highly politicized with one district judge from Travis County deciding it.
Sure. The Senate also yesterday required any local property tax increases that would raise more revenue to be approved by 60% of every city council and school board and county commissioners court in Texas. Right now it's 50%, so it would go to 60%. Paul Bentoncourt, who I think used to be the appraiser in Houston in Harris County, carried this bill. How did you vote for that, and what are your thoughts?
I voted for it. I think people, homeowners, are greatly concerned about what they're seeing in their taxes and that they pay every year. And I think it should be harder to raise taxes than lower them, to be quite frank. And putting in place a supermajority rule, a 60% rule, before commissioners, courts, and municipalities, city councils can raise taxes, I think is a reasonable step in being judicious with how much we expect in tax revenue from our citizens.
Certainly. And just as one member of the body, give me your thoughts on whether Governor Abbott should get the State Guard involved with Jade Helm.
I haven't really put much thought in that. I don't really see that much of a reason to do it, to be quite frank, but that's just kind of off the top of my head.
Sure. Now, you are a member of the conference committee that's going to struggle with this budget. Can you give us, have you met yet?
Oh, yes. Okay. We've been meeting. You bet.
Okay.
I've been occupying a lot of my time.
I understand. Now, can you give me an idea of when you sat down to start this? Because we got a lot of new players in there. Now, you are new to this, but we also got some leadership people who are new in this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically give us an idea. When you came in, you sat down, did you make a list of the most contentious things first, or did you try to find the common ground first as you begin this process?
There are issues that the chairs of the respective committees, on the House side, it's the Chairman Otto of the Appropriations Committee, and then on the Senate side, Chair Nelson of the Finance Committee. They have a list of very big issues that they want to discuss as chairs. But other than that, there are concerns on each side and differences, and we've been empowered to negotiate a finalized product regarding the budget. It's a significant undertaking, and obviously my concerns are meeting the priorities and needs of the people of the state of Texas, but being very judicious and wise with our taxpayer dollars.
Well, of course, obviously, again, the property tax seems attractive to a lot of people, and that's the way the House wants to drive this. But by the same token, part of what you want to do is also help the businesses in Texas. How is that? Because that seems to be a little bit off to the side. Tell me how that's being heard in this committee. How it's being responded to.
Well, the big issues of tax relief are a sticking point in the budget between the House and the Senate. The Senate wants to see homeowner tax relief and small businesses and franchise tax relief. I think those are two areas that do need to be addressed. And on the House side, they also want to see franchise tax relief, but they also have put in place and passed a bill regarding sales tax relief. And so there's a need to come to some agreement between the various tax proposals before the budget can be completely finalized.
So what's going to take place in any of your committee assignments or on the floor before we talk again next week that's important to you?
Well, my time is almost completely occupied now with the conference committee. We will be having a Health and Human Services Committee meeting next Wednesday. We're starting to hear a lot of the House bills that are coming over from the House. And we only have 4 weeks left in this session, and we need to make sure that we address, again, all the concerns and priorities of the state and get those addressed, in particular the budget. But some of the important health care-related bills that we've spoken about regarding the sunset legislation and the reorganization of the Health and Human Services Agency, these are still up in the air and still need to be finalized.
Okay, so and finally, just to go back to the conference committee, give us an idea of what the schedule ends up being, that it does take so much of your time. How does that play out?
Well, each budget is designed separately, the House version and the Senate version. And so each item in the budget has oftentimes small differences and sometimes very large differences. And we as a Senate member, and then I have a House counterpart, we have a team of individuals that work with us, and then the Legislative Budget Board, which are kind of the experts in the budgeting process. So there's 20, 25 people in the room as we negotiate the finalized version of the budget.
Sure. Well, again, it's interesting. It's great to have our state senator again inside the room as we're trying to struggle with the budget. Thanks for the time this morning, Senator. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
You have a great day.
Thanks.